Blog Talk Radio.
This is how we do it.
Good evening. Welcome again to Talking Sports Plus. It's a great opportunity to come before you and be able to talk with you again, Talking Real Sports Plus. I just want you to take this opportunity tonight and just kind of offer a prayer for those individuals in Kentucky, because on the other day, we had a 15-year-old gunman to go into the school, which was a student, and open fire and killed two. My last report in 15 was injured. I just want you, everybody, to kind of understand that we're at a challenging time here in America, and we have to make sure we keep things in mind. We have to make sure we focus on every person that's a citizen in the United States. But we also want to make sure when tragedy occurs in our community, we offer prayer to those individuals. So this is what it's all about. You are now listening to Talking Real to You. Now it's Real Talk to. It's all about offering conversation about political, social, economic, and educational, as well as finance, just plain life issues. Now, the question that most of the people always ask, why Talking Real to You? Because in normal real talk shows are afraid of addressing issues that affect our daily lives, and they are just too basic. So what we want to do is offer you something different. All right, tonight we have a very special show tonight. We have two guests that's going to be on the show. My co-host, Lauren D. Smith, she's not able to be with me tonight. She's over there completing this test in her grad program at over at South, and she want to make sure she give the focus on that. And see, our prayers and my prayers is for her to be able to do that. Now, want to leave this with everybody. This is a father and daughter team, which is going to bring you energetic conversation about those political issues that's around you in your community, social, economics, educational, finance, and just, again, just plain life issues. Now, the call-in number for tonight's show is 347-857-4192. And if you want to listen to the show on the web link, it is www.blogtalkradio.com/L. D'Alberto Smith Production, and we can go into details and get the other part /2018 January 26th Talking-Real-2-U. So let's get started with the show tonight. Our first guest that's going to come up and talk with us will be Alicia Ruffin. She's a career coach with the Montgomery Public School System.
Hello.
Thank you for having me tonight.
Well, we really appreciate you being with us tonight, Alicia. When I first met her, I had an opportunity to just kind of share some thoughts with her about what we're trying to do with Real Talk, actually talking real to you. And she said it was great. I'll come on. So what we want to do, get the show started up tonight, Alicia, we just want you to kind of take a time to kind of tell everybody who you are and actually what exactly you're doing with the Montgomery Public School System.
Hi, I'm Alicia Ruffin, and I'm a career coach for Montgomery Public Schools. This is my third year serving the county. And what a career coach is someone that offers students career guidance if they have a hiccup as to what direction they want to go in. A career coach was funded by the State Department of Alabama to help the counselors out with those different needs so the counselors can focus specifically on counseling needs of the students. And the career coach kind of takes over as far as career guidance, getting them in touch with the military, two-year institutions, four-year institutions, workforce development, and things of that nature. And it's very rewarding. And I just thank the system for the opportunity for allowing me to do that.
And that's exactly what we're looking for in our community, in our school system. So we need these type of professionals in our school system to help our young people to get the best service that they can be provided. We're going to kind of move forth with our interview. We're going to kind of look at some things that that actually you're doing, Alicia, because so you can share exactly with them the concerns that is coming from the business industry about employees. In your job, what exactly is your job to do to meet those concerns? You can share some of the concerns then say what exactly you will have to do when you're training the young people in Montgomery Public Schools to go out for jobs in the business and the industry.
First, normally what I do is provide a career assessment, which is the Alabama Career Planning System, known as COOTER. And so the students would do an interest inventory assessment, and I would look at the data to try to pair them up with their interests. Once we do that, then we pair the students up with someone from business and industry where the students have the opportunity to do internships, job shadowing, and things of that nature and kind of get a mentor for the business and industry. What we have found that the needs of the industry is we have a lot of baby boomers that are retiring, so we need skilled workers to fill those positions. And some of the things that the employers have shared with us as far as remaining employable in those companies, we have a big issue with students not being able to pass the drug test. That's the number one cause. And secondly, punctuality. So it's very important that I focus on, you know, educating them about not doing illegal substance abuse and as well as being punctual and professional at all times because your character takes you a long way. So I also mentor them as far as professional dress, how they should carry themselves, interview tips, and also resume tips. So it's a win-win situation all the way around that prepares them to be college and career ready, whether they go to the college system or they go straight into the workforce. So that's pretty much my role. I do day in and day out.
Okay, you just said something about the way they dress. What tips can you share with our listeners in regards to how maybe the listeners may be individuals who are going to apply for a job? What are some of the tips you can share with them about their personal attire when they're going to interview for a job or just even going to seek for a job?
When students go and seek a job, I always ask them to research the company first. You want to make sure you have some background information before you just show up or even apply for a job. And I always tell them to be truthful on the applications, whether you've had some criminal history, you know, or you've never worked before. Some students have worked before. They have volunteer work. That's a part of work experience. We always focus on that as well as professional dress. I always tell them if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. And so we have different seminars and we have mock interviews where we bring individuals in to show them the proper way to dress versus not dressing, because your character takes you a long way, and so you want to make sure that first impression is everything. You may not have the skill set at that time, but if you're trainable and you look presentable, then people will be able to work with you.
And that is great to hear that, because our young people really need to have those tips so they can go out and make sure they're successful on these jobs. Okay, looking at your job as a career coach, how do you go about helping students to identify maybe the field they may be interested in? Is it some kind of test, or is there some kind of utensil put in place to help identify what field those students go in, and then how the parents are involved? And that's sort of like a two-phase question there.
Okay, the State Department implemented or bought a program called the Alabama Career Planning System. I kind of mentioned that earlier. It's basically known as CUTER. And what we do is the students take a series of assessments, and based on the answers of those assessments, it generates some data where I, as a career coach, can go in and look to see what the top career cluster is. It may be in the medical field, or it may be something dealing with welding or building science. And so I converse with the students. We have a one-on-one assessment, and I kind of share some things as far as what the results were saying, as far as what they need to do. A lot of times it may not be what the student wants to do. They say, hey, I want to be a nurse. But have you ever been to an actual hospital facility or seen someone, you know, a phlebotomist take blood? If you faint or you get sick at the sight of blood and the results say you want to go into the medical field, that may not be the best field for you at that time. At that point, I always ask the students, what are you interested in? If you had to go to work a 9-to-5 and they say, I'm not going to pay you for 2 weeks, but you say, hey, I still want to do it, that's something that you really have a passion for. You don't mind doing it because you may not get paid. So that's kind of what I kind of instill in the students. Pick a career that you know that you don't mind getting up every morning going to and you feel comfortable about. That's one option. And also, I call the parents in. We'll have a one-on-one session with the parents and the student just to let the parent know what the student's interest is in different career options that they have. They can do internships. They can do job shadowing. We have a partnership with Trinity State Community College as far as dual enrollment, where they can go ahead and earn college credits while they're still in high school. And we received a grant with that program where the tuition is free. The students do have to pay for the books. So we like to keep the parents informed about what's going on, because sometimes I know students, they can't quite communicate clearly what's going on at the school. So that's where I come in, and I'm the liaison between the student, the parents, the administrators, Trina, workforce development, business and industry. So I have a lot of shoes and a lot of hats to wear, but I don't mind because I really enjoy what I do. And so that's how we kind of bring the parents in.
You all do an awesome job, and I do have a little background knowing about career coaches throughout the state of Alabama. So you're doing an awesome job giving some good information here. You interview tips. We want to kind of, what kind of training or what do y'all do exactly with those students when you're talking about interviewing? What to do besides, we already said dress appropriate, but what are some of the things that y'all sit down and share with them about interviewing?
Normally what we do, we'll bring human resources representatives from our different business and industry partners, and they just kind of go have an overview of what they're actually looking for when students apply, down to the filling out of the application, what keywords that they're looking for to say, hey, I want to give this person an interview. Also, once we go through that process, each student has to create a resume. So the resume, we start from scratch. We give them a template where they have to fill it in, and then I usually go behind them and make sure that it's grammatically correct. I may have them add some fillers to it so they can feel comfortable and everything is truthful with the application. Once we go through the resume process, then we bring in business industry partners to do mock interviews. And so we have the students to dress professionally. We have the do's and don'ts. and then they kind of score them based on their interviews. And so we compile all the interview feedback from the business and industry, and we talk to the students as a whole group. That way we won't individualize certain students. We'll talk to everybody and not single each individual person out, because some characteristics a student may have that another student may be weak in, and so vice versa. So we like to bring them in as whole group and talk to them about the proper way to interview and how to research the company before they interview. And we tell them never ask about pay. That's the last thing you want to ask. And I always tell them when they research the company, have questions ready in mind. That lets the company know that you're definitely interested, and you want to let them know how can they profit from hiring you. It's not about you gaining money from them, but it's how can you help them gain a profit. So I always want to kind of have the students flip the interview to make it show the company that they're, why they're worthy of the company hiring them. So that's what I really talk to the students about.
Okay. You mentioned about a resume, but do you also do, with a lot of time, letter applications, show them how to do a letter application? If it's a tool used, can you kind of share how y'all would use that letter application in conjunction with the resume?
We do like a cover letter. Cover letter is kind of like an overview of your skills and abilities, and a lot of times employers will see that before they even actually see the interview. So within those couple of sentences, you want to sell yourself in a document right off the bat. You should have, the first sentence should be very catchy as to why this employer should review your resume next, and as well as giving you the interview. So the ultimate goal is to get an interview. Once you get an interview, you've already had, your foot is almost in the door, or you might as well say halfway in the door. So the next process is to go in and just make sure that you sell yourself and that you're presentable. But we always teach the student about cover letter and resume, so I'm glad you brought that up about the cover letter, and that's very important.
Okay. That's good. That's good. Now, let's get to the part about professional appearance. You know, we're talking about the student that did a resume application, invited to an interview in there to come and talk with the business of the industry. What would you recommend in regard to professional appearance in trying to acquire a job?
I'm going to start with my guys. We have this thing about sagging pants and things like that, and we all kind of know where that started from. That's not appropriate whatsoever. I think every young man should have some slacks, white shirt, a blue or black tie, and a nice dress coat. They can go to Goodwill, Salvation Army. It doesn't cost that much to go ahead and acquire those materials and some nice dress pants. Look presentable. When you have a business coat on, that lets the employer know that you're ready for business, you're ready to be employed. So I always tell my young men, you know, don't wear your earrings when you go to the interviews. Don't wear your gold chains and things like that. Those things are not attractive when you're trying to gain employment. And also the employment that you're going to gain, you can hope that some of those jobs will turn into careers. So I always, always tell them to make sure that they're presentable when they go on these interviews. Now, my ladies, you know, we have a little bit more of an attire that we can wear. I always tend to get a gray suit, black suit, or brown suit. Some of our young students, they don't really wear stockings anymore, but I definitely tell them to make sure that their legs are nice and presentable. They can wear, you know, not stiletto heels, no little kitten heels, or maybe a flat heel, a black shoe. Minimize the jewelry, one or two rings, one ring on each finger, maybe a bracelet or a watch, but nothing heavy, light makeup. And I always tell them, I know you love your Gucci Couture perfumes and all these other perfumes, but I tell them you never know who the interviewer is. And you don't, if they have an allergy, you have too much perfume on, that could stop your interview at that time because you can make them sick, and they may not want to call you back for an interview because they're afraid that you'll wear that fragrance. So I always tell them, you know, don't wear any perfumes. You know, just make sure your hygiene is clean before you come, but don't wear too much perfume or perfume at all. And I always tell them to wear those small studs or pearls in their ears and take away the color the weaves and different wigs and things like that. Just go to your natural color. If your hair is blonde and you're naturally blonde, then that's fine. There's really nothing you can do. But if your hair is not naturally green or purple and things like that, don't put those different colors, especially if you're trying to be serious to gain employment and to get some type of income coming in. All those things are key factors that the young men and ladies need to keep in mind.
That is great. That's great information, right, that you're sharing with us. When we're looking at those individuals, just quickly, can you share this term that's being shared throughout our workforce area, which is soft skills? Can you share some soft skills that these students need to make sure, or any individual needs to work on to make sure they're able to function once they get that job?
Some of the soft skills, punctuality, make sure you're on time. Being on time is really late. You need to arrive to work 15 to 20 minutes early. You don't know how the traffic's going to be. You don't know the climate outside. If something's backed up, you just want to make sure that you have enough time to get there. Also, you have to be able to collaborate with others, working in groups. Make sure that you respect yourself, respect others, respect their property, and those type of things there. Those things go a long way that a lot of employers are saying that students cannot seem to grasp those things. So that's what we're trying to do at our technical school, Impact, that's located on the boulevard. It's a smaller setting where we can kind of hone in on those students to make sure that they are employable and that those soft skills are transferable and they can obtain those positions based on those skills.
That's some great, again, that's great information. And our listener, if you want to call in, that's 347-857-4192. Go to the web link to hear the show if you want to. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/LD Alberto Smith Production. We just have a couple more questions for you, Ms. Ruffin. What is the significance that job prospects are aware on how social media would affect you in getting a job? Why is that so important that those job prospects know about social media and how it affects them getting a job, acquiring a job?
I want to tell the students, once it's the list is tonight, once it's out there, it's out there. You have one of your social, real popular social media outlets is Snapchat. Even though they say it goes away in 24 hours, somewhere that's somebody's job that's on a server that's looking for anything and everything that is put out there. So once it's out there, it's in a cloud. It could be in Timbuktu, but it's out there, so you can never get those things back. Social media is a good thing, but it has been abused a lot and has caused a lot of issues. And matter of fact, a lot of employers have positions now that's what the people do. All they do is sit there and watch Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Snapchat, Periscope. That's their job, to see what the employers that are currently employed there and potential employees. And so that's the number one cause of a lot of employees getting fired is because of social media outlets. You can't do the things that you used to do long time ago, and you kind of got away with it. But now with social media, people can take a picture of you in an uncompromising position. You'll never even know it, and it'll be all over the cloud, and that can ruin your career forever. So just be mindful of who you hang with, what you post, what you think you're going to do. And if you hang with a bad crowd of people and they're always on their social media outlet, 9 times out of 10, they're going to capture you where it could mess you up for the rest of your life. So social media, if you're on it, then you should treat it as a way to connect, to network, but don't abuse it, because once it's out there, and there's no turning back.
Okay, this is the last question we want to ask you in this interview. What advice can you give a student who has no direction and they're about to graduate from high school?
What I would say, I would take the student and kind of ask them what their interests are. What do they love? What do they like to do? And I will also give them the Alabama Career Planning System assessment, which is COOTER. And based on those results, I would pair them, you know, as much as I can along with their interests. If it's to go to a two-year institution and major in welding or medical science, I would absolutely connect them with somebody at our two-year institution and set them up to take the AccuPlacer. That's their interest test, the entrance test to get into the college, or if they're interested in going to the military, I will call some of my recruiters. We have a good relationship with the armed forces. Get them involved in that, as well as maybe it's a four-year institution. The student probably took the ACT and scored maybe 20, 25. There are so many colleges that offer scholarships based on those ACT scores and then, of course, their GPA score as well. And I will partner with them if they're scared to go off, you know, leave the state of Alabama or even leave Montgomery. We have a lot of great colleges here and universities in Montgomery as well as Alabama. And so I would call some of my connections there, the admissions office recruiters, and have them come out to the schools and talk to the students so they can have a plan. Because I always tell my students, your senior year, that night of graduation, when you're sitting in the audience and they're waiting to call your name, you are a high school student. Once you walk across that stage and you shake your principal's hand, you're a high school graduate. Once you shake his hand and you move on to go off the stage, you're an unemployed adult. And we don't want that to happen. We want all of our students to have a plan and make the connection as to where they can go so they can be successful in society.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. You know, before we just close this out, we'd like for you to give our listeners a way they can contact you. They can call and maybe just ask some questions, because even though they may not have a child in school, but they might be just want to find employment themselves. So can you give the contact information to each and every one of our listeners?
My email address is Alicia, A-L-E-S-I-A, .Ruffin, R-U-F-F-I-N, at yahoo.com. They can also follow me on Twitter at Career, C-A-R-E-E-R, Lady, L-D-Y. Eliminate the A. So that's C-A-R-E-E-R-L-D-Y, Career Lady, at Twitter. And my number is 334-241-5307.
Wow, that's some great information you shared with us. Again, we thank you for coming on. Alicia Ruffin, her contact information was just shared with you. She's a career coach for Montgomery Public Schools. And from what I'm hearing, there are some outstanding things being done. So we want to say keep on doing what you're doing. And we thank you for coming to Talking Real to You, which is a real talk show that talks about all the issues, whether educational, economic, or financial. So, again, thank you for coming, Alicia, and we look forward to talking with you in the future.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right, we have another guest that's coming up, but it's coming up after the intermission. We're going to have about a 3 or 4 minute intermission, give ourselves a chance to let our next guest jump in the conversation, share some explosive information about what she's doing. Our next guest is Ms. Latay Pickin, and she will be sharing some very spirited information about what she's doing, and she will come at 1 minute past the half hour. So we're just going to play a little music to move toward that, then we're going to have her on here, and we'll allow her to do the same thing, share some real spirited conversation with us.
I'm gonna keep loving you, keep holding you, I know I'm your man, you're my girl. They can say what they want to say.
All right, we're back with the show now. Again, we thank our first guest, but we have our second guest that is lined up to talk with us. This is Ms. LaTae Pickett. She's the CEO of Inspired to Inspire. Good afternoon. I'm sorry, good evening, Ms. Pickett.
Good evening.
We really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule. So just share some very spirited conversation about what's going on in the community and what impact you're making in the community through Inspired to Inspire. We just want to kind of start off with allowing you the opportunity to kind of to tell us about yourself as well as the organization that you have, you're CEO of, and just go with it, and then we'll go from there, and we'll have some questions come down the line. So we're going to give you the floor. You have the floor now.
Okay, well, thank you, Dr. Smith, so much for having me. I am LaTae Pickett. I am a native of Montgomery, Alabama. I'm a single parent of three beautiful children, Tiffany, Jeffrey, and Kanisha. I have two beautiful grandbabies, Darion and Drake. And I come from a very well-rounded family. Both of my parents were educators here in Montgomery, Alabama, for over 30 years. I was just going to say that Inspired to Inspire is a motivational group. It's a inspirational, motivational group. And I started the group maybe about 2 months ago. So I just saw the need for that.
That is real positive, because whenever we can make a difference in our community, I know your brother, your sister, and your father. I actually coached against him as a head football coach, so I have a little bit of background there. Yeah, back I was at Bullock County, he was at Carver, so we played
at
in Carver both. And that was an awesome. You know, we lost in overtime to him, so I do remember that. That was one of the highlights of that area, because being a small area. But we're not going to spend time talking about myself and my experience. We want to talk about your experience. Now, you started that organization, and what is the basic principle and let's say the purpose and mission of this organization?
Okay. Inspired to Inspire. Our mission statement is our mission statement is to encourage, inspire, and uplift people on a daily basis. And our purpose is that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you if you just have faith. And so that is basically Inspired to Inspire mission and purpose.
Now, I hear that that's a awesome mission as well as a purpose, but what actually, you know, was your inspiration for starting and organized Inspired to Inspire?
Okay. About maybe 6 years ago, I saw the need, as I said before, I saw the need to start a group. It was on my heart, and God had gave me the vision a couple of years ago, but I didn't act on it. I wanted to go back to school. Out of my siblings, I was the only one that did not complete my degree. I had a high school diploma, but I did not go on to college. And I went to college, but I didn't finish. My father so much wanted, and both of my parents so much wanted me to go back and finish. And I guess just having the lack of motivation, I just wasn't motivated to finish. And so back in 2011, I was working at Brubaker Middle School along with my sister and two of my best friends, and we're still very, very, very close now, encouraged me to go back to school. And so they motivated me. They encouraged me. These three women, my sister, Tara Pickett, my friend, Kelly Stanton, and my other friend, Nisha Woody, encouraged me to go back to school. They would say, hey, you can do it. Go back to school. We'll help you. And so I did. I made up in my mind, because I was working at the time. I was going through a divorce. I was working two, sometimes three jobs at a time, just to make sure my ends meet and my kids had a roof over their head. And so I stepped out on faith. I prayed about it, and I stepped out on faith, and I registered at Troy downtown in 2012. I registered that summer. 2014, I completed my 2 years. I obtained my associate's degree. In 2016, I completed my bachelor's degree. And May of this year, 2018, I will be completing my master's degree in rehab counseling. These three women were very influential in my life. They motivated me. They encouraged me. They inspired me. And, of course, my parents and my brother, they planted the seed years ago. But these three women came and watered that seed. And so by them watering the seed and me having friends that are positive, these women were beautiful women. And I wanted to be like them. I wanted my degree. And so by me being with these women that were very influential and they were doing some positive things. And so I decided, hey, I can do this. I can do this. And they helped me the whole way through. And so I'm just very grateful to that and grateful to them, grateful to God that he has put me in a position to where I can inspire other people. Inspired to Inspire, the name came from being inspired by those women and now accomplishing having my master's degree. And now I want to be able to inspire other people that, hey, no matter what your circumstances are, I was going through a divorce and, you know, I had three kids that I had to take care of, working three jobs and going to school. And I was working 7 days a week. I mean, I was gone 7 days a week. But through faith and through trust in God, you know, he brought me out and I've accomplished some goals that some people didn't think I can do, and some that didn't want to see me get it done. And so I'm just very grateful, and I want to be able to inspire other people. I see a great need for people go through real life situations and real life struggles. And so letting them know that, hey, surround yourself with people that are positive and doing positive things. You don't need anybody that's going to talk negative in your life and speak negative things in your life. You want people, you want friends, and sometimes you have to check your friend circle and check your friend list, because sometimes when God is trying to take you places, everybody can't go with you. And so be okay with leaving some people behind, because you have to get to a place where God is taking you, and they might can't go with you, but be okay with that.
You know, that's so awesome to hear. And your story is, you know, a story that you should always cherish, and all the individuals you and had an opportunity to be involved and been supported in all things you're doing. But by our Almighty God and His hands on you, having favor on you, you know, I see that, and I think that's awesome, Latay, and couldn't keep doing it. And having a support system that you have with your, you know, with your friends, including your sister, within that three women that was important to you, then having your brother, who I know, DP, Daryl.
Yeah.
And then your family, your mom, and I know your dad is no longer here, but he's watching. He's smiling on you right now. Because
this is
something he wanted to see, and you keep on grinding. And I always see you on Facebook, and I put keep on grinding because you're making a difference. Because I know what it takes. So we're gonna just kind of touch bases on some things that are community projects that you are doing through your organization.
Okay.
You can just kind of share with us what kind of community projects you are doing.
Okay. Inspire to Inspire is a, I wanted it to be an act of service. I didn't want anything from it. I wanted to give back. I wanted to, like I say, there are so many people that are hurting, so many people that are just need of encouraging words. And I started it on Facebook because I knew that it could reach a lot of people. Actually, back in October when I first started it, it started out with maybe two or three members. Now there are like 740-something members all over the state, all over the United States, and I'm very grateful for that. A whole bunch of them I do not know. They just asked to be a member to the group. And anybody that wants to join, of course, I accept that because you never know what people are going through. And I get so many messages in my inbox of people saying, you've encouraged me. I share my testimony every couple of months, and every time I share it's a different testimony on what God has brought me from and where He's taken me to now. And so by doing that, it's never to brag or boast because I always want God to get the glory out of it, but it's to show people that, hey, God loves me. God loves you just as much as He loves me. And if He did it for me, He'll do it for you. And just to have faith, but you have to make the first step. And a lot of people, you know, if you see it, and people can tell you things, but if you see it, it kind of bring it more to home and say, hey, she went through this, she's going through this, and God has brought her out, you know. I post positive things. All the members on the group or in the group post positive things, so you can go on and look. Like I said before, I have several people that have messaged me just to say, hey, you've encouraged me. You inspired me. You encouraged me to go back to school. I've had one to even say, you know, just by a couple of the posts, they, you know, had contemplated suicide. But just reading some of the posts on Inspire to Expire stopped them from committing suicide. So those are some of the things that is the purpose of Inspire, to uplift people. Some of the community service that we have done in November, it was Thanksgiving, and I wanted to kind of give back, be thankful for what we have, because there's always someone out there that have less than you. So whatever you have, being grateful for what God has given you. So I reached out to Cedar Crest Nursing Home, and I targeted the consumers there that did not have anybody to come visit them for Thanksgiving. And I posted on the page, and I had members to give, donate items like toothbrush, toothpaste, body wash, socks, things that they can use, candy, sugar-free candy. And we did gift bags, and it was 25 consumers there that didn't have anybody to come visit them, to bring them anything. And so that was our active service for November. In December, we partnered with Lanier's Toys for Tots and the Backpack Program, and we donated Christmas gifts to those students that were in need or might not get as much as other students for Christmas. And that was our active service for December. In January, we did a vision board, and we just met. We did a meet and greet, and we did a vision board. And the members, everybody that came, did their vision. They wrote their visions down. They made them plain. And these are just what God, what they are asking, short-term goals, long-term goals for 2018. So those are the three things that we have done so far. Like I said, we started in October, and our first after service was in November.
Now, again, that is super what I'm hearing now. My next question would be, all these positive things you're stating and how you guys started, what if there's someone in the community wanted to start an organization or a service organization? I'm not saying like yours have your own brand, but there are other individuals that might want to start, maybe young, maybe high school, where they want to start a service organization. What would you recommend to them starting a service organization to help the community?
My first suggestion would be to write your visions down. Write it down what you want to do. Write down exactly what it is that you're looking to do and looking to help, however it is. And then the next thing would be to talk to positive people. Surround yourself with positive people that might be in the same industry that you're looking to help or looking to do, same type organization. I think that if you keep your circle positive, keep people that's in your circle positive, then, you know, you can help each other. So just writing their visions down, writing what they want to do, and seeking out people that might have that same organization or know something about that organization on how to start it, and not just anybody, positive people. That I think that is, for me, that is the biggest key. Somebody that is, and people that are positive and speaking positive things in your life and over your organization.
That's great. All that is great. And the last thing we just want to kind of get some information about is, are there any other organizations that you'll partnership with to work with you to kind of, if not, how can someone that's interested in becoming a partner with your organization and helping, whether it's the behind the scenes or whatever, how can they do that? What options, what do you have available for them and how for them to do that?
Well, of course, they can connect with me on Facebook or message me on Facebook. I do have where they can, you know, contact me via phone if need be. Right now, I am in the process of getting the organization nonprofit. It is not quite done just yet. But I am in the process of working on getting it a nonprofit organization. And right now, I do not have any partners. I would love some. Inspired to Inspire is just an act of service, encouraging and uplifting and motivating people, no matter on a daily basis. So, like I said, I do not have any partners right now, and I'm only on Facebook right now, but I am looking to take it nationwide. I want it to be where no matter where you are, you're able, no matter what you're going through, you're able to connect with Inspire to just talk to someone or just say, hey, you don't even have to talk to anyone. Just look on the page or say, you know, these are some encouraging things, because I do have members that share their testimony. Excuse me, share their testimony that help. I even have a member that was on was a drug and alcohol abuser, and he shared his testimony on the page and how God has brought him out and how he will be graduating with his degree as well in May. So, you know, contacting on at VA Facebook. I'm also on not Twitter, Instagram, and just contacting me via phone if need be.
Okay. You have a partner in myself and my organization, which is LD Alberto Production.
It
does a lot of things. That's Talking Real 2, which is Real Talk 2. We do Talking Sports Plus. I also have a 5-star sports academy. And, you know, I've got several books out there published. So you do have a partner now. So we're going to work with
awesome.
You. And anytime, you know, we're going to invite you back again and again when you're available to come back, because our listener needs to have this information. Now, as you mentioned about the Facebook contact as well as other contact, you know, can you specifically say, you know, if you have any telephone number as a contact, give it how it's listed on the Instagram so those individuals can contact you?
Okay. On Facebook, it is Inspired, INSPIRED, the number two, Inspire, INSPIR. That is RE. That is on Facebook, and it is a closed group. So all they have to do is request to be a member, and I'll accept their request. And on Instagram, it is Inspired to Inspire as well. On Instagram, if they need to contact me, they can contact me via my cell phone, area code 334-294-8514.
Well, we really thank you, Ms. LaTae Pickett, for coming.
I thank
Ms.
you
Pickett
for having
is the
me.
The CEO of Inspired to Inspire, and that is the number two in between that. Now, again, like I say, it's awesome to be able to work with you, and we're going to continue to work with you because my hashtag is keep on grinding. And I keep on grinding,
exactly.
And I tell you the same thing, make a difference like you're doing. Again, our listeners had an opportunity to hear you, and we again say thank you again, and we look forward to talking with you in the future as well.
Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Smith, and I appreciate you. Thank you for all that you do.
All right, thank you so much, and have a wonderful night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, we just had a great interview. We had two awesome individuals. These individuals, I'm so proud of being having the opportunity to meet them, but to be able to talk with them and have them on this talk show, Talking Real to You. Our contact number, which is our call-in number, is 347-857-4192. And we were so happy to have the guests on. We thank Ms. Alicia Ruffin, as well as who's a career coach at Montgomery Public School, as well as Ms. LaTae Pickett, CEO of Inspire 2, the number two, Inspire. And from this point on, we're about to wrap up this show, but we want to share some information with you. Now, please understand that we'll be coming to you every Thursday night at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. But on Wednesday night, we will be having our sports talk show, and our lines will be open, and that's Talking Sports Plus. Again, the call-in number is the same as this number, 347-857-4192. And the web link to hear the show is blogtalkradio.com/LDAlbertoSmithProduction. So we just want to bring you something that's different. That's what Talking Real to You is all about. You get a chance to just talk plain life issues. Tonight we focus on careers. We focus on having a social project that you want to work on. And we're going to continue each week to have these type of topics and these guests like we had tonight that was able to just take out their time and share what is needed to make our young people better or just make our community better. So, we thank each and every one of you for joining us. Again, on next Wednesday night, we got Talking Sports Plus, and then at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Then we have on Thursday, we have Talking Real to You, and it's a real talk to show that focus on areas outside of the basic real talk. So we are excited about it, and we want you to join us again next week. But tonight, we really appreciate it. I looked at the board was lit up with everybody listening. And I do appreciate each and every one of you all that was listening to the show. Also, the listeners on the web link and said, we're going to say, have a wonderful night, and we'll talk with you next week. So, you know, my famous thing, keep on grinding, make a difference, be happy, and have a wonderful night.
This is how we do. Records and we're making the dance. Oh, I'm buzzing the club.